Marika is pursuing a combined doctorate and degree in veterinary medicine and a master's program in public health at Tufts University. She's currently completing a two-year global health fellowship in Peru as a Fogarty International Clinical Research Scholar. She's interested in cross-disciplinary approaches to solving global health problems that affect humans, animals, and their shared environment. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the introduction. Today, as mentioned, I'm going to talk about the interface between non-human primates and humans in Peru. This is an ongoing project, so today I'm going to talk a lot about why we're doing this research and some of the preliminary results that we're finding. And unlike everyone that's spoken before me, I do have some disclosures to make because right now my stipend is being paid for by the Navy Medical Research Unit, which is an infectious disease laboratory in Lima, Peru. So, that being said, the views expressed in this presentation are mine alone and do not represent the official policy or position of the Department of the Navy, the Department of the Defense, or the U.S. government. This work is supported and partially funded by NAMRU-6 and Fogarty NIH grant. And these experiments were all conducted in accordance with the Animal Welfare Act and are IACUC approved. And as a U.S. Department of Defense employee, this work was prepared as part of my official duty and as such is not protected by copyright law. That being said, let's get started. Just as a little bit of background, Peru is home to a wealth of biodiversity. There are a multitude of different ecosystems in Peru. And there are 32 distinct species of New World primates that have been documented in Peru. And more are being identified each year. However, there's been comparatively little research on infectious agents in wild primates in this region. And I'll show you some maps that illustrate this in just a minute. And there are many infectious agents that are known to infect humans and non-human primates. So as you saw earlier, 75% of emerging infectious diseases are considered zoonotic. And there's a lot of overlap between primates and non-human primates because of our similarities. And so a couple of examples are Cryptosporidium, tuberculosis, which is actually a huge problem in Peru that they've been fighting for decades, herpes virus, salmonella, etc. This is a study conducted by Hopkins and Nunn in 2007 called a global gap analysis of infectious agents in wild primates. And you can see right over here, this is the Amazon basin. This region right here is the Amazon in Peru. It's a hot spot for primate species distribution. This next graph shows, or map shows, unsampled primate species density. And again, this hot spot right here, there's a lot of species of primates that have not even been sampled at all in Peru. And then this shows the proportion of unsampled primates comparative to the total primate population. And again, I lost my mouse. You can see that there's a lot of species, or the proportion of unsampled primates is high in Peru. So there's really a need to continue studying what's out there in these animals. Most of the literature from Peru focuses on wild primate populations. So there's a lot of organizations that are following groups in the jungle, collecting samples, doing a lot of behavioral studies. But there hasn't been that much study, that much research on the primates that are in captivity. And there is a huge human-non-human primate interface that exists that hasn't been systematically studied. And all of the animals that are in this interface are not born domestically. They're all wild-caught animals. So every year, about 28,000 non-human primates are taken from the Peruvian jungle and trafficked through the animal trafficking system. They get shipped internationally to Asia, to Europe, to America. They get put in zoos and sanctuaries. People have them as pets. And I'll show you some images that illustrate this in just a minute. And there has been transmission from human reservoirs to non-human primates that has been postulated in Peru. This was a study that looked at parasites. So not only are we concerned about human public health and what, you know, what these animals might have that can be transmitted to humans, but also what we have that we can give to the non-human primate populations that will then trace back to their wild populations, because many of these species are threatened and endangered and their numbers are decreasing. So it's a twofold dynamic. And these human-non-human interactions are actually increasing with economic development and population increases. And there's a lot of movement from the Andean regions to the jungle regions. There's more people that are interacting with these animals. So one place where you see these interactions are in the markets. In the markets, it's very busy. There are thousands of people and thousands of animals. Different species are mixed in cages together, and it's very hectic and all over the place. Oops, I don't know how to go back.
I'm gonna try arrow back.
There you go. So there are, you can see there are cages here that have about 6 to 10 monkeys in them that are sort of packed in. These monkeys have probably been trapped about 10 days earlier and have been in conditions, overcrowded conditions, without appropriate food or water, and are very, very prone to getting infections because they're you know, compromised at this stage. And this is a little girl. This monkey was actually licking the inside of her mouth. So it was a perfect moment for me to lick her. But, so there's a lot of this. You know, there's people just living with these animals in very tight quarters. And the meat is also sold in the markets for food. And this is, you know, this monkey is rotting. And the woman that was selling it was periodically, you know, taking off the sloth skin that was rotting. And it's just, you can imagine what might be on that monkey. They're also kept as pets. This is a woolly monkey that was actually kept in the kitchen of a family's house. And the bottom of the cage, it doesn't have a bottom, it's just the kitchen floor, and they slide the cage around and clean under it to clean the cage, but you can see it's right next to the fridge and where they prepare all their food. And people also walk around a lot with monkeys on their shoulders, just as, you know, there's a large variety of care that these monkeys receive. Some are pampered, some really are in pretty bad shape. And then there's, you know, a lot of people decide after a couple years that they don't want monkeys, or it's also illegal to have pet monkeys. It's illegal to sell monkeys in the markets. So there are some efforts to confiscate these monkeys, and they're confiscating so many monkeys they don't know what to do with them, so they put them in zoos and sanctuaries, and they're not regulated at all, and there's a lot of interactions that occur in zoos. Also in sanctuaries where the monkeys are running around with chickens and people. And this is a sanctuary where actually this monkey here is one of the monkeys in the cage in a sanctuary, and over here is a wild monkey that's come from the jungle to interact with these peri-domestic monkeys. So there's an interface there that's happening as well. And then these are monkeys that have been confiscated that are just in really bad shape. They've just, you know, been severely neglected. It's very sad. So there's a lot of interactions to look at. So the objective of this is to characterize and understand shared pathogens in non-human primates and humans that are in contact with these primates, and to look for evidence of genetically identical strains. Specifically, we're looking at mycobacteria, we're looking at parasites, we're looking at enteric pathogens, enterobacteria, enteroviruses, and my colleague Bruno Gerzi is also looking for herpes virus and foamivirus. Sample collection is basically the entire Amazonian region in Peru. We are either taking samples from live animals, collecting fresh feces and oral swabs. We're also teaming up with other scientists and other veterinarians so that when they do anesthetize monkeys, we can go in and collect our samples at that time as well, and that's when we get our blood samples. The feces were looking for enteroviruses, so we're doing PCR for noroviruses and picornaviruses. The parasitology, we're doing basic microscopy and species confirmation with PCR. For serum, we are running PCR to look for herpes virus, and we're doing ELISAs and Western blots for foamivirus. That's in collaboration with CDC. Their rectal swabs were culturing to look for enteropathogens and to do biochemical identification and then species confirmation via PCR. And the oral swabs, we're working with a group at the University of Washington, Lisa Jones Engel, that's developed a novel PCR assay to detect mycobacteria in the saliva. So far, we've collected samples from 152 New World primates. That's spanning 23 different species in 7 different locations in Peru, 6 different contexts. So, lots of confiscation animals that we get, you know, at the governmental level, pets, lot from the markets, many, many animals from sanctuaries, and a couple from zoos. And these are just images. One at the top is a woolly monkey, and the bottom is a spider monkey. They're both very common species in Peru. Some of our preliminary results. This is paratology results from 36 animals from 2 different sanctuaries. We found an extremely high prevalence of hookworm, which is very commonly seen in humans as well. Also a very high prevalence of cryptosporidium, which is pretty pathogenic, and definitely all species of cryptosporidium are considered zoonotic. Blastocysts and entamoeba are generally non-pathogenic, but trichuris is whipworm that's also commonly seen in humans in this area. In that area, and Ascaris is also a very common parasite found in humans. When I stratified this data, looking at this was from 2 different species, from spider monkeys or Ateles and woolly monkeys or Lagothrix, we found that there was a significant difference in cryptosporidium infection and that the woolly monkeys had significantly higher level of cryptosporidium infection or prevalence of cryptosporidium infection. And the spider monkeys actually had a much higher prevalence of entamoeba infection. And so at this point, it's hard to know exactly what these trends mean, but there might be some species-specific interactions that are going on. One really interesting trend that we think is emerging from the data we've seen so far is that these animals seem to have more of a population of parasites that resembles what the humans have in these areas and less of what these animals have in the wild compared to the literature that's already out there. So for the enteric pathogens, we've sampled 113, we've cultured 113, and 22 are positive for enteropathogens, enterobacteria. Aeromonas was most prevalent at 15%, about 5% tested positive for Campylobacter. And then one animal had Shigella and one animal had Salmonella. And these are all pathogens that are, you know, cause dysentery in humans. And Campylobacter especially is responsible for a large majority of diarrheal disease in Peru. I didn't stratify this data by species or location because there weren't any real trends that were emerging, but it will be nice to see that over time as well. And then for HSV1 or herpes, so far we run PCRs on 20 animals. And 15% were positive, or three animals. One of these animals was a male, dominant male in a group, and he was completely asymptomatic, and he was scheduled to be re-released into the wild because they're part of reintroduction programs. So you can imagine that releasing a herpes-positive animal into the wild where it can then interact with wild populations could be very detrimental. Herpes, HSV1 particularly, is of human origin. It's never been documented in primates as something that they have naturally. And the other two animals were pretty sick. And then for foamivirus, we had 39% positive. Foamivirus is similar to human immunodeficiency virus. It is a Samian virus, so it's found in monkeys and it originates in monkeys. And it doesn't usually cause disease in monkeys, nor does it usually cause disease in humans unless you're severely immunocompromised. But what's really interesting about this is that when we start looking in humans, we'll know that it's coming from the monkeys. So it'll be a really nice marker of transmission. So in conclusion, we've found multiple infectious agents that are known to infect humans and non-human primates that are present in Peru. And that this study will further our understanding of the role that human-non-human primate interactions play in bidirectional pathogen transmission. And we are currently have two IRB approvals from two institutions and are waiting on our third, and we're hoping to start getting human data actually at the end of this month. So that being said, my acknowledgments for the NAMRU6 parasitology team, Wildlife Conservation Society and PREDICT, Than Tan from UW and the Fogarty Clinical Research Scholars Program and Tufts School of Veterinary Medicine. Thank you. I do. It depends because a lot of the data I'm getting, but I'm also have some field crews that I'm working with. So for some of the animals, I do have that information, and for some of them, I don't. But what I'm really trying to get is if it's infant, juvenile, or adult. But yeah, I did find some differences in, you know, in the parasitology, looking at the infants and the juveniles. They had a much higher burden, a much higher number of co-infections than the adults.
With puppies and kittens.
But yeah, definitely.
Much more prominent. The other thing, and I know, so I'm not a vet, and I'm sure a lot of you are, so this may sound like a question. But in South Carolina, we do investigate a lot of crypto and cyclogiardia that we think is zoonotic, but obviously we don't have or don't suspect that we have people that are interacting with non-human primates very often. But it sounds like you do have a substantial amount of interaction with Peru. I wonder, what is the trainable bathroom habit of the monkey? Is it typically,
I've seen like juvenile and infant monkeys in diapers in homes, but generally they don't tend to once they're, if they're living in a home, they don't tend to defecate in the living areas. They'll go outside, but they don't usually use a litter box. But these animals that had a lot of crypto were actually in a sanctuary where they sort of, they were caged sometimes, but they were roaming sometimes just around the jungle and the people, you know, and around the town, the people are also walking around. So there's, I think there's not much, you know, there's not much of a way to, you know, or they're, at this point, they pretty much defecate wherever they want.
Yeah.
So.